Lord's Prayer meets every human need. At the very beginning of the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, there are three quotes immediately following the title page. One, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Christ Jesus, quoted from the Gospel of John. Two, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Shakespeare. Three, oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. Mary Baker G. Eddy. The first quote reminds one of what Einstein stated. He said, curiosity has its own reason for existing. Never stop questioning. The second quote from Shakespeare tells us that our thinking will yield our experience. And Mary Baker Eddy tells us that God hears the prayer and blesses us, and that that is God's behest, and that God is omnipresent. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. It appears that that is a clue that our life is our prayer. What do we want to accomplish in our life? We need to listen to Shakespeare and form it so that it will be experienced. We need to put into our consciousness only what is going to be constructive in being on the path of infinite progression as we strive for concrete being. On page 494, beginning at line 5, Mary Baker Eddy states the following. Inexhaustible divine love. Is it not a species of infidelity to believe that so great a work as the Messiah's was done for himself or for God, who needed no help from Jesus' example to preserve the eternal harmony? But mortals did need this help, and Jesus pointed the way for them. Divine love always has met and always will meet every human need. It is not well to imagine that Jesus demonstrated the divine power to heal only for a select number or for a limited period of time, since to all mankind and in every hour, divine love supplies all good. Reason and science. The miracle of grace is no miracle to love. Jesus demonstrated the inability of corporeality as well as the infinite ability of spirit, thus helping erring human sense to flee from its own convictions and seek safety in divine science. Reason, rightly directed, serves to correct the errors of corporeal sense. But sin, sickness, and death will seem real, even as the experiences of the sleeping dream seem real, until the science of man's eternal harmony breaks their illusion with the unbroken reality of scientific being. The messages from the text just read appears to be giving us a clue, and I believe that clue is that divine love always has met and always will meet every human need, is natural. It's not a miracle. It's not something that is without explanation. But it is the natural operation of divine love. The definition of God, as stated on page 465, which is the 14th chapter entitled Recapitulation, which is a summary in question and answer form of the first 13 chapters of the Christian Science textbook. It states that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. In the book by Helen Wright, the founder of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, entitled Your Divinity Revealed, it is stated that mind includes everything that is mental. Some of the words used to define mind are creative ability, capacity, capability, functionality, facility, action, performance, power, omnipresence. In the glossary on page 587, the definition of God is given as the great I am, the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all-substance, intelligence. Also on the same page, the definition of good states God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. If you think about those terms, you will find it a very difficult task, an impossible task, to find something that is left out of the definition of God. For these definitions are complete. And love is defined as wholeness, completeness. So So whatever you may think is left out of the definition of God, just look at what the word love means. Nothing can be complete or whole if it is missing anything. There can't be any quality that is absent from the term wholeness or the term completeness. They include all. Nothing is absent. Nothing is lacking. That's why it states in the text that was read from page 494, the miracle of grace is no miracle to love. It is part and parcel to the very term love. It is included. One of the terms to describe spirit is substance. Substance is defined as being flawless. Therefore, it's transparent and reflective. Soul is defined as being the way we identify whatever we're desiring to identify. But to have the proper, real identity, we have to realize that the only substance is spirit. So therefore, the only senses, which is the primary function of soul, which enables identification, therefore, the only real senses are spiritual senses. And those senses include seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. We can't really identify properly anything unless we are utilizing the spiritual senses. Principle is the fourth term, as described on page 465 of the seven. And principle means that it must be in balance and it must be harmonious. And the only way that can be assured is to realize that principle is the structure and a system which makes everything self-operating, and it must be also smooth, and that means that it must be permeated with the quality of love. For love includes the term oil, which means spiritual inspiration. The fifth term to describe God in that same definition is life. Life is the activity of God. It's how we're living our life if we're reflecting God, the only source of reality. And again, the substance of life has to be spirit because it's the only substance of all existence. Truth is the sixth term of the seven. And truth is consciousness. It is motive. It is the true path which eliminates all error. If there's any error included in our thought, then we have blemished the purity of truth. So truth is the purity of spirit, flawless, perfect, and it is definitely on the path of infinite progression, striving for concrete being, the path to God, reflection of the fullness of love. The seventh term of the seven is love. If we love a fellow human being, we're going to be considerate. We're going to be patient, tolerant. We're going to really care about their well-being. We're going to be living the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And we're going to be living the commandment expressed by Jesus as being the first commandment, which is, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. If we do that, we are automatically going to love our neighbor as ourself. And that covers all the other commandments. It's easy to understand how every human need is met if we live these qualities. For we're going to be totally in alignment with God's qualities. And that includes love, which is in itself wholeness and completeness. So there cannot be any lack or absence of good. And therefore, there cannot be an unfulfilled need on any level, whether it's human or divine. There are four operators in the system of divine metaphysics. This is what Mary Baker Eddy states about divine metaphysics. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. That's from page 146 of the textbook. And on page 330, she states the following. When the 32 planks of the platform is understood, and the letter and the spirit bear witness, the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated. She outlines 32 planks which is the platform of Christian Science. That's what we must stand on to give us the foundation that cannot be penetrated. So when we understand those 32 planks of the platform on which we should be standing, then the letter and the spirit is our witness. So we must understand both the letter and understand the spirit. And the only thing we can do, either one of those, is to prove that we understand them through demonstration. Mathematics has four operators that are termed add, subtract, multiply, and divide. And they have 10 digits, 0 through 9. The elements for God are the seven terms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And the four operators are the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. The Word means we understand what God is about. The Christ means that we translate whatever comes our way into spiritual terms. Christianity means that we will examine what God is all about. We will translate whatever the problem appears to be into spiritual terms, and therefore, combining the first and the second operator, we will be able to demonstrate the reality so that whatever the problem is will be solved. We will see it not as a miracle of grace, but as the normal functioning of love. The principle will be in operation, and it will bring the balance and the harmony to the surface to be seen as the reality. We don't have to hope. We will know through understanding that the result will be success. Mary Baker Eddy states that she prayed three times a day for all humanity. And she stopped whatever she was doing a dozen times a day to make sure that she was thinking correctly about everyone and everything. In other words, there could not be any thought of criticism or defects in an individual or an event. Because all of God's qualities are omnipresent, and they include His entire creation, the existence, all existence. just like when we look up in the sky and we see all the beautiful lights that are reflecting into our vision to see the harmony of everything in the universe that we're looking at is operating in harmony. That's operating within the divine principle, love of God. Not only is it a symbol for the beauty and the harmony, but also the power of mind, which is keeping everything in its right place, controlling everything, guiding everything. Nothing is left out. And if we open the aperture of our vision wide enough, we will see that same harmony in everything in our experience. And anything that appears to be discordant will be dissolved by us increasing the aperture to see the big picture, which is under the control of the one and only omnipresent, omnipotent, omniaction, omniscience of divine mind. Here's the text beginning at the bottom of page 14 through the end of the chapter, the first chapter in the textbook entitled Prayer. And it includes the Lord's Prayer. It states, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Spiritual sanctuary. So spake Jesus. The closet typifies the sanctuary of spirit, the door of which shuts out sinful sense, but lets in truth, life, and love. Closed to error, it is open to truth, and vice versa. The Father in secret is unseen to the physical senses, but he knows all things and rewards according to motives, not according to speech. To enter into the heart of prayer, the door of erring senses must be closed. Lips must be mute and materialism silent, that man may have audience with spirit, the divine principle, love, which destroys all error. Effectual invocation. In order to pray aright, we must enter into the closet and shut the door. We must close the lips and silence the material senses. In quiet sanctuary of earnest longings, we must deny sin and plead God's allness. We must resolve to take up the cross and go forth with honest hearts to work and watch for wisdom, truth, and love. We must pray without ceasing. Such prayer is answered insofar as we put our desires into practice. The Master's injunction is that we pray in secret and let our lives attest our sincerity. Trustworthy beneficence. Christians rejoice in secret beauty and bounty, hidden from the world, but known to God. Self-forgetfulness, purity, and affection are constant prayers. Practice, not profession. Understanding, not belief. Gain the ear and right hand of omnipotence, and they assuredly call down infinite blessings. Trustworthiness is the foundation of enlightened faith. Without a fitness for holiness, we cannot receive holiness. Loftiest adoration. A great sacrifice of material things must precede this advanced spiritual understanding. The highest prayer is not one of faith merely, it is demonstration. Such prayer heals sickness and must destroy sin and death. It distinguishes between truth that is sinless and the falsity of sinful sense. The prayer of Jesus Christ. Our Master taught his disciples one brief prayer, which we name after him the Lord's Prayer. Our Master said, "After this manner, therefore pray ye." And then he gave that prayer which covers all human needs. There is indeed some doubt among Bible scholars whether the last line is not an addition to the prayer by a later copyist. But this does not affect the meaning of the prayer itself. In the phrase, "deliver us from evil," the original properly reads, "deliver us from the evil one." This reading strengthens our scientific apprehension of the petition, for Christian Science teaches us that the evil one, or one evil, is but another name for the first lie and all liars. Only as we rise above all material sensuousness and sin can we reach the heaven-born aspiration and spiritual consciousness, which is indicated in the Lord's Prayer and which instantaneously heals the sick. Here, let me give what I understand to be the spiritual sense of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father, Mother God, all harmonious. hallowed be thy name. Adorable one. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And love is reflected in love. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Amen.